Welcome back to the Green Zone post-game show on this Saturday afternoon. Riders beat the Hamilton Tiger Cats 29-9. They're 8-1 on the season with the Calgary Stampeders up next on the schedule. We will hear from head coach Corey Mace in a moment, but right now let's head to Greg on the fan line. Greg, what are you thinking tonight?
Hey, boys, great show as usual. DD, fantastic as usual. I sent a text in. We have to pump the brakes on Lothar. He is going to win us the Grey Cup, and if he doesn't, I'll bring you guys two-inch T-bone steaks, and I'll cook them in the parking lot. We're going to have some fixings. And if I do win, Belton, I need some brisket and your mama's cornbread and some of those jalapeno poppers and the eggs.
We need to settle the terms of this. We need to settle the terms. So you're saying, now, are you saying Brett Lothar will win the Grey Cup, as in, like, kick the game-winning field goal?
No. Brett Lothar will still be the kicker
when they win the Grey Cup.
Yeah. Jamie, you've been dumping all over him all day long. Stop it.
I don't think they might. But the thing is, I don't think they're going to change it. I really don't.
Well, of course not. Belton, you played in the show. You played in Mississippi. You played in CFL. Chemistry is everything in the room.
But he's 60-some percent. I just can't. It scares me every time he walks out on the field.
Do you think Brett Lothar will be on the team when they win the Grey Cup this year?
100%, Jamie.
Belton, do you think he will be? Because I think he will be.
He may be, but it's in my head, I'm like, somebody's got to pull the pin here, man.
KDD,
it's getting scary.
Can you add some logic to this, please?
Daryl, do you think Brett Lothar will be on the team when they win the Grey Cup?
Yeah, I do too.
Because, he doesn't think they're changing either.
Yeah, Corey Mace won't make a change. I've talked to him enough. I've asked him about it. It's not. They have no interest in changing him.
When he kicked that 50-plus yarder, was he not? If he would have ran for mayor of Regina, he'd have won.
Well, he would have won dressing room most valuable player anyway with the team, the way
they love him, guys. We can't. Let's just pump the brakes for two, three more weeks. He's going to beat Winnipeg. He's going to beat Calgary. And they don't need him in the second Winnipeg game.
I hope you're right.
I'm going to pump the brakes. I'm pumping the brakes right now. All right.
Break.
Yeah,
all right.
Belton's pumping the brakes because he doesn't want to cook for you, Greg. That's why he's pumping the brakes.
Jamie, what's our winning percentage right now?
Well, 8-1.
Okay, so has Lothar cost us a game?
No.
That's been fortunate.
No, he has not. You are correct. He has not cost them a game. Actually, what was he in that game against the Calgary Stampeders season? He missed two kicks in that game.
Yeah. That's it.
But they lost for a lot more than by 6 points in that one. Okay, so sorry, Greg. It doesn't sound like we're taking the bet yet on Brett Lothar in the Grey Cup. Let's hear from head coach Corey Mace. He was asked about Brett Lothar, but first off, he had a statement at the start of his news conference today.
I would like to start with Rider Nation, we absolutely love you. Like, that was incredible today. The amount of people that showed up, man, that was excellent. That was everything we ever envisioned when we first came here. To have that happening now, non-Labor Day game, going into Labor Day, you have no idea how much that means to us as a team. We love you. Hope you we made you proud.
So Hamilton started out in the first quarter with two really good drives. You made them settle for field goals. What changed the scope that allowed your defense to really take control of the game?
Yeah, I think just us settling in, early in the game, there's going to be things that, they always say that, the first 15, the scripted or whatever. We caught ourselves in a DPI early, which took up a chunk of the field. Mm-hmm. And then we were able to maintain, we were able to keep them to three. And then after a while, it was just kind of seeing how they were going to call the game based off of the wind was a huge, huge factor today. And ultimately just the guys settling in truthfully to making the calls come to life. Because there was certainly some things early where it's like, guys, we've seen this, like, you know, so it's just settling in, man, and really, really proud of him.
So, six sacks on Bo. Would you say that they were combination sacks? A lot of them, at least three of them appeared to me that they were coverage sacks. So it was a team defense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we knew it would have to be that, whether we were going to be able to rush a four or plus to get the job done. The coverage, I mean, it's no secret, you know, what Bo was able to do with the ball in his hands. It's no secret about that receiving core that they have. Weapons everywhere, and even their backing out of the backfield. He caught a couple, explosive when he's in space. So we had to do our job defensively as the back end to make sure, and linebackers obviously, to making sure that, you know, we had the zones all accounted for, and allow those guys to put the pressure on it. And then ultimately, for us, the goal was just to, as we always talk about, disrupt. The sacks are awesome. We love those, but the disruption, having the quarterback worrying about what's happening in front of him as opposed to what's happening down the field, that is a beautiful place to live in. And I thought they did a pretty good job of that tonight for the most part.
Corey, it is week 11 of the CFL season. Brett Lauther has continued to struggle. Just thoughts on the year so far and on what's going on?
Yeah, man, tough. I mean, he wouldn't sit here and tell you any different. I agree. It's been tough for him. But in the same breath, the guy banged. I don't even – do we know? How long was that?
59.
Bangs of 59, like right before the half. Like that, and that, honestly, that was huge for us to get those 3 points, because you don't know the dynamic of how that changes their decision going into the second half, whether to take the ball because they're down or take the win in the fourth. Like that changed everything. That was one of the plays of the game for Brett to make that kick. So, yes, he's not had the year that he's wanted to have. But in the same breath, he's done some incredible things for this football team, and today included. And some of it, man, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there was some times we were going for two because the wind was so crazy. It's just, it'd be tough to make a PAT. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Eight straight quarters, you guys haven't surrendered a touchdown. What's kind of led to this defensive showcase right now?
It's just, I don't know, man. Guys are just, they're just doing their job. It's not anything cooler than that. It's just they're doing their job. We talk complementary football in three phases, but the three phases of the defense, it's complementary. You know, when the back end needs to hold it down, the front's getting the pressure. If there's, you know, a bust in coverage, the front's getting the pressure, and vice versa, they're buying time for the front to do something. So it's just complimentary defense, so to speak. I hope it would be like that every week, you know, but it's tough in this league. But we'll certainly take them anytime we can. Incredibly proud of the whole group, man, of the whole group and the coaches and the time they put in.
Sounds like we heard a lot in the locker room. It was a lot of just focusing on us. That said, did this feel like a measuring stick game, just knowing how well they've been playing?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, and I continue to think this next run is really, they're all tough. Like, I don't care who we're playing, guys. You're going to hear me saying it. It's as hard to win in this league. Montreal was a tough game playing in Montreal. Hamilton coming here, tough game. Going to Calgary, tough game. After that, two in Winnipeg, tough games. Like they're hard, man. So we just have to literally, we have to take it a week at a time, and we have to focus on us being the best version of us. However, we do feel that if we can present the best version of us, we do feel like we have a chance to win any game that we play. So let's focus on that. We can control that.
That is Corey Mace, the head coach of the Saskatchewan Roughriders. As Daryl was listening, he was like, listen to what he said about Lauther. He is still the kicker of the Roughriders. He's still Corey Mace's guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that 59 yard.
Isn't that what you got?
Man.
No,
yeah.
Biggest play of the game. Great, no.
Great
play.
What about the 28 yarder?
No, where's the 59 yard, Jamie?
I thought you said 59. No, 29. You miss from 29, you make from 59. I don't know. That seems backwards. They're not changing them. He really won't. However, the one part I did find interesting in that interview is that he said PATs were tough to kick going into that wind. Are you kidding me? 32 yards? A professional kicker, no matter what the wind, unless it's Hurricane Andrew, you better be able to kick it 32 yards.
Who was it? Leggio?
Yep.
He nailed his going what?
Into the wind, yep.
Yes,
he nailed, well, he we were all watching that one closely going, okay, if he makes this one down the middle, if he misses, we'll go, okay, the wind.
I was
he
ready
nailed
to do
it right down the middle, slap and I was like, okay, that doesn't doesn't give.
But the 59 yard, that was amazing, man.
It like, was. Of great course kick. It was. Good for him.
It's the longest kick of his career.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he nailed it. It wasn't.
That's the only one I'm going to focus on, that 59 yards. I'm not thinking of anything else.
So in the Grey Cup, if they get to the 35, they're going to say, can we back it up? Take a couple penalties here.
That those four interceptions, rough. But, man, that one 59-yard touchdown pass, that was awesome. But Corey Mace is going to stand by his guy.
Of course he is.
He's not going to sit there in front of the media and, well, I don't know, some coaches might, and just rip the kicker and say, we need a new one right then and there. That's never who Corey Mace is going to be.
I guess all I'm thinking is, you know, football, right? Like, it goes in a trend or a wave, right? Like, the way you start your career and got good, and then there's always a decline. Because time catches you.
Everybody.
Right?
Yep.
And it's knowing when to let go before it's too late. Have we made it there yet? I don't know. All I know is he made a 59-yard, and that's what I'm sticking to for the rest of the season.
Right? Jamie, Darrell,
and so he switched you around. Courtney switched
here on the green zone. I smell sarcasm from across the room.
It smelled like sarcasm in here, too.
We'll see if Bass and Beef smells like sarcasm next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This is the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie and I, Darrell Davis, and now with Beasts and Beefs.
From chop blocks and dirty hits to big-time catches and fans in the stands.
That was a good old Southern spanking right there. I love every bit of it.
You never know what'll catch Belton's attention. It's Belton's Beasts and Beefs.
Grey Cup champion Belton Johnson gives you the good, the bad here on a Saturday afternoon. Where do you want to start, Belton Johnson?
Let's start with the beef, Jamie.
The bad.
Uh-oh.
I can imagine. Beef, go ahead. What do you got, Belton?
So I think I was coming in a game where, you know, first quarter, it was quite a lineup to get in and everything, right? And I think Trevor Harris, did he throw a pick?
He almost did.
It was it almost, okay. So I heard it wrong then, so we'll scratch that. But
I guess he did in the second possession? Second possession, he did. Yes. All right. I thought you meant the first possession.
No.
Yeah.
Second quarter there. I thought it was a good call by Mace to challenge pass interference.
No.
Because I wasn't sure what the ref was looking at, because to me it was obvious that it was a PI.
You the callers, okay, all right, okay, I'll take my lumps.
Of course, Brett Lowther, I'm done with all of that, but the missed field goals, you know, I got beef with that.
Well, I thought that was going to be your number one beef, okay.
Hey, I'm going to put it to rest. Coach Mace, 59, he ain't worried. I'm not going to be worried.
Okay. Yeah.
You and Dallas. you split up now, hey?
Okay. Who is it? But the biggest beef for me was Dre McCray fumbling that punt because it set the Tight Cats up for great field position, right? So, to me, that was
– He's dropped too many of those.
And especially the way that wind, when it was blowing, right? Like, I'm looking at the ball like, just kind of push forward a bit. I'm like, oh, is he going to miss this? And sure enough, doink.
Doink was right. Boy, that bounced high off his
head. And he got paused.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. He'll catch it next time.
Maybe.
Maybe. So that's my beef there, Jamie.
That biggest beef, Dre McCray bobbling. If it wasn't for Roland Milligan, that could have been a different ball game with the Tiger Cats deep in Rider territory. But, of course, Milligan with the pick. What's your top beasts?
All right, so again, the fans, they brought the noise today. You heard Coach May state that as well. Second quarter there, Trevor Harris with that deep shot to Dante Meyer, like on the line there, just he caught it and kept going, right? Let me see here, Bo Levi, you know, when he got sacked by Micah Johnson, I think it was, second and something, and the fans, they were so loud that when the ball was snapped, I knew Michael was going to get the sack because the offensive player, the guard, did not move for like a hair or a second, and Michael shot off and got him. So Don't know if y'all were watching Dale Duncan Busby, but he had a nice block on one of AJ's run there in the second quarter there. Brett Lowther nails 59. Way to go, Brett Lowther. Who else? Third quarter.
He's a beef and a beast. Right, Belton. See what I tell you? I'm not defending them, but they're not going to make a change, right?
They're not. Third quarter, Bo Levi was picked off by Tavon Campbell. I thought that was great play by Tavon there. Mm-hmm. And that's how you open up the second half, right? Like, take the ball away from the offense and get going. Again, Roland Milligan picked off Bo there. But my biggest beast was Shane Ray absolutely dropped Bo Levi, forced that fumble on third and two. I almost spit up my drink because it was like, did y'all hear it?
Yeah.
He hit him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he hit him, fellas. And that fumble, it was just a beautiful play, just that sequence. Because after that, right, I think
that was the 59-yard field goal.
There you go.
Set up,
that 59-yard field goal.
Magical, hey?
Now that's player play of the game all of a sudden is Brett Lowther.
Yeah, maybe I'll switch the play of the game. Should be the 59-yard field goal, huh?
Well, no, well, I'm Shane Ray. I'm going with Shane Ray.
Shane Ray gets
he's coming
the
alive,
top
man.
Beast.
Is he ever, man, what a speed rusher. Is he? He's not as big. When you look at him, he's not that huge, not. Right? But, boy, he can fly, and he's tough
some,
to stop.
He's got some moves. Force, too, man.
He's a first-round pick in the National Football League for a reason.
And he's an all-world interview, too, so.
Yeah.
As we like those guys, Belton, the guys who are great interviews too, right?
There's beasts and beefs coming up. Our game warriors, you'll hear from Brett Lowther and Trevor Harris, still to come on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone post game show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson. Before we get to the game warriors, let's hear from the quarterback, Trevor Harris.
Defense was awesome. Special teams was great. And offense, we just had a little bit of a slow start. Obviously, want to play better. You know, that's a lot of times we've talked about playing a full four quarters. And today was the first quarter that we didn't play too well. But just small things, a little execution. But, you know, early in the game, they made a couple good plays. The interception was a really, really good play by the DB. And I could have put the ball a little bit more outside. And early in the game, they were jumping stuff and reading routes, and they were doing a great job. And so we were kind of made us have to be a little bit more on high alert in terms of how to hurt their defense and attack them. And so it was one of those like quick chess matches, but we were able to kind of get our traction quick. But they're a good defense, and they're a good team, and I wouldn't be surprised, you know, to see them, you know, win the East. You just they're a good ball club, and so you know with them and Montreal getting healthy and. And shoot, Toronto has been close every single week too, and Ottawa's very, very talented. The East will be highly contested.
A lot of things in your career, and obviously family is important to you. Mm-hmm. Did you get a chance to hear your eldest son on the PA announcer when he said,
"Yeah,
my dad"?
Yeah, when I heard that little voice say "my dad," I can't lie, that got me. Started getting tears, and I had to just like try and snap out of it to try and get back into, you know, dialed in for the game. And so, you know, hearing that was. Just one of those like bucket list things, you know. You hear your son, your 8-year-old son, announce you at a professional game was just can't put it into words. I know he was practicing at home for the first time. He did it, and I started crying, and it was just trippy. No. I started crying. It was tough for me. My wife's like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "I can't hear that voice do that. That was rough." And so, and same thing happened. It kind of got me choked up here.
Trevor, did you take a little bit of issue with Corey Mace pulling you out the end there after you took that big hit? Looks like you shared some words with him.
Yeah, it's that was bad on me. I got to be a pro. I got to be better than that. That was just an emotional time right there, and I didn't want their defense to think that they had got to me. And it was just one of those things where I wanted to pop up and let them know that it was not them doing that. It was, you know, I wanted to stay in the game and let them know that they can still bring more. But it was a good hit. It was a rough one. Trippy, go ahead and get down. It was a good hit. It was a clean hit, and you know, I'll be probably getting a little treatment tomorrow, so be good.
How nice is it for the club to put together these performances back-to-back, these big wins, and really where you've played almost a complete game, as you mentioned?
Yeah, so to me, this is what we need to be doing for our fan base. We have the best fan base in the league, and for them to show up for us today and have a sellout crowd for a 1 o'clock game is just absolutely phenomenal. And so we got to keep that rolling. Rider Nation, keep it rolling. Keep coming out. Keep making it tough on them, and we can get this done together. So really, really grateful for our fans showing up today, and you know, hopefully we can have no seats unsold the rest of the year.
There is Trevor Harris, quarterback of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, and yes, over 70% completion percentage for the 12th straight game.
Wow. Warriors, come out to play.
From big plays, big catches, and big hits. Now, game. Warriors.
All right, Darrell Davis, the offense, defensive game Warriors for the two sides. And for the 8th of 9 times this season, we start with the Rough Riders because we always start with the winning team for the offensive and defensive game Warriors. Who you got for the offensive game Warrior?
And I think I got to go with Keyshawn Johnson. 8 catches, 117 yards. He didn't score a touchdown, but he set up so many things. He made tough catches. I know he was targeted 11 times, but
maybe the greatest 2-yard catch of all time.
That was a beautiful though, and diving over the defender and just to scoop it,
come back and
protect
it.
Yeah. He played really hard. He deserved to have a touchdown or two the way he played, but he certainly had a lot to do with them scoring so many points. So I'm giving it to Keyshawn Johnson, although Dante Myers gets a pretty good runner up award.
Okay, let's go to the Hamilton Tiger Cats offensive game Warrior.
Well, they got they're not supposed to be able to run the football, right? Everybody says that they're not a great running team, but, Greg Bell did a pretty nice job out of the backfield of running back number 5, 10 carries, 55 yards, and he also caught 5 passes for 52 yards. So on a team that didn't have a great offensive day, he contributed 107 all-purpose yards. So Greg Bell's their offensive game Warrior.
Almost half their offensive output came from Greg Bell. There's probably plenty who could be defensive game Warriors for the Riders.
Isn't that the truth? Interceptions.
Who you got?
We were talking about A.J. Allen's playing so well, though. 7 tackles and a sack. Big sack. That whole defensive line could be. You're right, there's a lot of players, but I think it's let's spread it around because it could be a lot of the same guys a lot of times. I don't think we've picked A.J. Allen, and he did a nice job. I know Greg Bell was a running back, and he's running towards him, but there weren't any real – I think Bell's longest carry was 12 yards or something. So that's a tribute that means that A.J. Allen's not letting him get by him very far or very often, and that sack was huge. So A.J. Allen has fit in pretty nicely with C.J. Avery out of the action.
All right. As we go to the defensive game Warrior of the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
There's a linebacker there. Plays the same position, the Will linebacker spot. Kyler Fisher, 12 defensive tackles, also chipped in a special teams tackle.
His first start, I think, too.
Yes,
today.
Yeah, a nice job by him. And AJ Ouellette had a tremendous game, and they were running at him. So he's the guy who's taken down AJ Ouellette. Mm-hmm. Ouellette, broke a couple, which he's going to do. But when you're running at a guy that often, and he makes 12 tackles, anybody makes 12 tackles in a game, I'm going to give him a defensive game Warrior.
And it's his first start. There's your game Warriors here on the Green Zone, a post game show coming up. We'll get to unsung heroes. And he's been talked about, and he was very open and honest. We'll play you Brett Lawther's thoughts next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Wrap up here on the Green Zone post-game show and head off for the rest of our weekend. Let's go back to the Rider locker room. He's never in the room after he kicks a game-winning field goal, but he'll be right there front and center when he misses 3 kicks on a Saturday afternoon. Here's the comments from Brett Lawther, as he's been talked about a lot here tonight on the Green Zone post-game show.
Like any other one to make the kick, so obviously super rough day, but it's more been a rough year, and a lot of fans and players and people in this organization definitely deserve a lot better, trying everything I can, and just not getting the results. So it's been a difficult year personally, but just super happy for the team and how good guys are playing. They're playing right now basically without a kicker, so that's how good this team is.
You had some misses right, and then you went hit one off the left post. Was there a compensation factor today?
Not really. I mean, just honestly just not good enough, period. There's, you can talk about people making any type of excuse for me, but I think at the end of the day, it's just not good enough, period. Doesn't matter if it's overcompensation or if it's a short one or long one or each and every week. Can't even get through a game right now making all our kicks, so it's been a difficult one.
Last question I have. I almost feel like you're discouraged. I don't think I've ever seen you discouraged before. Are you feeling discouraged?
No, I wouldn't say I'm feeling discouraged at all. I've never had a year where I've had so much support from my teammates. They kind of believe in me more than I almost do. They've been great. So I wouldn't say I'm discouraged at all. Just trying my best. And like I said, it's just not good enough right now.
That is Brett Lawther. And I always say this. I always want to preface all this, and we talk about them, and we rip them, and people call in and say he should be replaced. This is why I have the utmost respect for Brett Lawther.
That's why his teammates like him, too.
Yeah,
he's a stand-up guy, has always faced all the media, even going back to the PA rep during the collective bargaining stuff.
Yeah.
He's a great community guy. He won the Tom Pate Award. There is no question of the man, Brett Lawther. He is top-notch.
But it's pro sports.
But it's pro sports, and he's 66% as a field goal kicker.
Performer, you're down the road, right?
You want him to be
90%. Yeah, you're right. He's meant a lot to this organization. But if Dallas is right, then they come down to a playoff game or a Grey Cup, and he misses something because he's missed these kicks all year, then they're going to say, why didn't you make that change when you had a chance to during the season?
All right, let's get to Unsung Heroes.
They weren't the game warriors, but they definitely made an impact. Time to sing the praises of the game's unsung heroes.
Darryl Davis, Rough Riders, unsung hero on a 29-9 win over the Tiger Cats.
Just lost my webpage.
Uh-oh.
I know what I was doing, though. I had it all figured out. I've been at this long enough. Cozy Onyeka had three special teams tackles. And I know Jamie makes me he's really happy, Belton, if I give special team tacklers, guys. You know, it could have been something like AJ Ouellette, who had a great game running out of the backfield, right? But he gets a lot of recognition, but Cozy Onyeka doesn't very often, and he was in on a lot of special teams tackles. The Rough Riders special teams have been outstanding in terms of coverage.
I saw them today.
And for the Tiger Cats.
How about their kicker, Mark Leggio, 3-for-3, because apparently it was really windy out there. And he made all three of his field goals, and he provided all the points.
Not a 59, though, right?
No, right. That's true. But so I guess I'm a little snarky there, but it could be done. And if Hamilton had scored a touchdown, they might have used them to kick a point after try as well.
Leggio is the unsung hero for the Tiger Cats. All right, bold predictions from the pregame show. I win. That's the
again.
Bo Levi Mitchell, 201 yards. Darryl had the lowest at 325 because I was bullied into saying 400. Zero touchdowns. Darryl had the lowest at 2. He had 4 rushes today. Belton, that's exactly what you picked. 2 point. Now here's something interesting. Darryl and Belton both get a point for Trevor Harris's yards because they've been rejigging his yardage all afternoon after the game. It ends at 307. Belton is 18 yards away, and Darryl is 18 yards away. So they both get a point.
We're almost like Keyshawn and
Dante
Myers before earlier today.
I want to see how that. I know how that one ended.
So 3 touchdowns for Trevor Harris. That's what I said, and 1 rush for Trevor Harris, a 9-yard scamper. That's what Belton, you said he'd have 1 rushing yard. Keyshawn Johnson, 8 catches, 118 yards. Dante Myers, 3 catches, 76. It was Dante versus Johnson as they both entered the game with 565 yards. I swept that category. I had 8 catches for Keyshawn at 90 yards, 4 catches for Myers at 75, and he had 3 for 76.
Wow.
And stopping Kenny Lawler, I darn near swept that one too. 6 targets, 3 catches, 62 yards, no touchdowns. I had his targets and catches and touchdowns. Belton, you had the lowest on yards at 93.
They shut him down. What a great job they did on the best receiver in the Canadian Football League.
Next best tie cat through the air was actually the running back, Greg Bell.
At
52, and nobody said him on the pregame show. Final score, Riders 29-9. We all said the Riders. We all get a point, but Darryl gets the extra point because he had the lowest score. at 32-28. So Daryl gets the extra point. Belton and Daryl get 5 points each tonight. I got 9 points in bold predictions.
Ouch.
So I'm at 65, Daryl's at 59, and Belton's at 57. After
tighten
that,
it up.
And well, after that 13-pointer for the Montreal game, Belton's very much back into the race. Meanwhile, quick update, BC is leading Montreal 9-3 in the final game of the week.
Quarterbackless Alouettes.
And Caleb Evans is now down, so they're going to their fourth string quarterback, Morgan, in
we
this
don't
game.
Know his first name. I can't remember his first name.
Nah, I can't remember either.
They have Cameron
Tyler?
Dukes.
Is it Tyler Morgan?
Yeah, I think so. They have Cameron Dukes on the bench, too. He might end up
they just signed starter. Him 4 days ago.
He'll be their starter.
Eesh, not going well at the quarterback spot in Montreal. That's it for us here on the Green Zone. I'll be back on Monday. Belton, Daryl, have a great rest of your weekend. Special yes, thanks to Chance. Once again, yes. Bailey did a rock star job. And, of course, Britton Gray with the post-game audio. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.